The following is an interview with Mrs. Lena Navison by Bertine Howerton for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at South Shore, Kentucky on September the 6th, 1978.
Well, you've already given my name, so I don't need that. I was born Lena Antis. I was born in Fullerton, Kentucky, daughter of Sam Antis and Nellie Huffman Antis. I had one brother, Durward, D-U-R-W-A-R-D, people misspell his name all the time, but he was named Durward Antis. He's 4 years older than I. I was born in 1907, down to the railroad tracks at Fullerton. Then we moved up next door to Dr. Meadows. Dr. Meadows was an old-time doctor, and Dr. Bennett both lived there right across from us when we were, they were first cousins of my mother. Their wives were first cousins of my mother. We were very close with them. It was Dr. Meadows that delivered me. My dad worked for Albert Smith in a grocery store for a while, and then he had his own butcher shop there for a few years.
Where was Albert Smith located?
Albert Smith was there on, you know where the old Christian church was, mm-hmm. There on that street. I think it was Harrison Street.
Yeah.
Well, that's where his store was located there, where old Doc Morris used to live there on that street too, you know. And that was back in the days when they had a horse and buggy. My dad had a, what they called a dray, and he had a horse, we called her Maud. And I used to go with him when he delivered meat from the butcher shop. Then in 1913, just after the flood, we moved to Michigan. We stayed up there about 5 or 6 years. And then we came back, and Dad worked for Rome Shepherd in the store there.
Was the 1913 flood very bad?
Well, yeah. It's not like the 1937 flood, but I remember it as a very small child at that time. I wasn't 6 years old then, I was five. And I just barely remember the flood, but I remember that we used to watch, see if we could see houses going down and so on. It wasn't in the houses where we were living at the time. But in the 37 flood now, it did get in the house that we lived in over in South Shore. I was teaching school at the time, the 37 flood. Flood came along.
I sidetracked you. You were in Michigan.
Well, I was just thinking, reminiscing a little bit when we came back. We came back from Michigan in 1918, just before the war closed. And I remember when the armistice signed, I was in the fifth grade when we started back. We came back here and I enrolled in school in the fifth grade. We were at the old Fullerton grade school. And it was an 8-room building. I don't know, had it burned down when you were around?
No, I remember it.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that it was a big frame building and had 8 rooms. And that's where I went to school, in elementary school. And my second year of teaching, I taught there. I taught there, I don't know, several years, 6 years, I guess. After it burned down, we were in a small room over across. That was just before it burned. And we expanded and had more rooms built over across the highway from that one. I don't know too much to tell you about those early years. I just remember that I hardly remember when the first automobile came to South Shore. It was before I was born. They said it came about 1904, and I remember they said that Dr. Nickel had the first automobile came to Fullerton.
I don't remember Dr. Nickel. Was he before?
He moved away rarely. No, very early, I'd say. He moved away, and the Dr. Meadows and Dr. Morris were the two doctors that I remember, because they were there when I came, moved back from Michigan. They were here then. You wondered about, I remember, I always thought I had a very happy childhood. I don't think we had very much money, but I didn't know it then. I didn't realize whether I was poor or not. I don't know. I know that when I went to school, I graduated from Russell High School, because we only had 3 years here in Fullerton at that time. I did go to high school in Fullerton. I went to Robert Nickel and Moody Nickel, and those teachers that taught here at that time. And after I graduated from Russell High School, I went to Moorhead College. I think it was pretty lean years then for Mother and Dad. He worked in a grocery store, and she had the post office down there. You remember where the post office located? Well, she had the post office down there. And I went to Moorhead. Back in those years, you could start teaching with 1 year of college. And when I came back after that first year of college, I taught then. And my first school, I taught at King's Addition. It was a two-room school. And that was my first experience as a teacher. And a girl from Greenup, Warnock girl from Greenup, one of Frank Warnock's daughters taught down there. Irma Warnock taught one room and I taught the other. R.J. Nickel was superintendent at that time.
Did they have the whole 8th grade in the two rooms?
No, I had the 4th, 5th. We taught the 4th and 5th, and then we taught the 5th and 6th. The 7th and 8th was taught together. One year they taught 7th, and the next year they taught 8th. Some way they worked it out that way back in those early times. It was a two-room, and I taught the upper grades. And after that 1 year there, I went to Fullerton grade school to teach. And while I was there, I taught different grades at different times, 5th and 6th mostly for a while, and then I taught 7th and 8th. And one time when they hadn't hired a first grade teacher, they asked me if I'd try the first grade. They'd hired all the teachers, were all upper grade teachers. They didn't have an experienced first grade teacher. So they asked me if I would teach first grade, and I had to take quite a little bit of coaching and training before I attempted that first grade, but I did. I taught it a couple of years, and I worked pretty hard getting that first grade going, because I do think it's very important, first grade in school, to get them started out. And Dana Holbrook taught the first and second. She and I taught those smaller grades that year. Then from there, I went over to the 8th grade.
Did you prefer to teach young children?
No, not really. At that time, I did, but afterwards, I didn't. I liked to teach the upper grades better. And I was principal of the elementary school in for, maybe 4 years. I got married in 1930. I married Tom Nevison from Detroit, Michigan. I met him on vacation when I was up there right after summer school was over. And as I went on teaching, and I went to summer schools to finish my degree, and I didn't get my A.B. degree till 38. So it took me a long time, the time I got my degree, to finish by just going. But our schools were out in February at that time, and I enrolled in Moorhead for the second semester. Then they had spring semesters back in those years for teachers that got out. Sometimes if we didn't get out in time, why, we'd go to spring semester and then on into summer school. And that's the way that I finally got through college, going that way.
I know several women out here did that.
That's the way we had to go back in those years. We saved our money. I remember during the Depression, when it hit, I had saved $80 to go to school on. That's all I had at that time to save. We didn't get paid. One year that I taught, during the Depression, we only taught. Well, Jesse Stewart was principal at that time, or superintendent, I mean, at Greene County. He was superintendent that year. And we taught 6 months and only got paid for four. We got paid for 4 months and we only taught six, and they cut us off because the last two they couldn't pay us. And it was about 4 years later before they finished paying us that money that they owed us. And that was the year that I had saved $80 to go to summer school on, and the bank closed. And the bank closed, but I didn't have any money to go to school on. And mother had a little money in the bank too, but it closed for her, and so we were left without any money. And I had to go to summer school in order to get my certificate. So the janitor was Mr. Evans at the time, and he lent me, yes, Forrest Evans' father was a janitor, and he loaned me $40 to start to Moorhead on that summer. And after he loaned me the $40, then my mother would send me enough money to till I finished my, that was the year I think I got my life certificate. You got your life certificate if you finished. That's why it was so important to me, because in two years' time, you could earn a life certificate. And then you taught 3 years, and it became life. It was a standard certificate. And then in 3 years, if you taught on it, it became a life certificate. That was why it was so important that I go to school that year, because I was going to get that life certificate. Of course, that life certificate came in handy a lot of times. I could teach on, and after I did graduate in college, I never did take out my life any certificates because I had that life certificate. So that later, when I taught in high school, it was good for my high school teaching. And then when I went into guidance and counseling, then I took out the high school certificate, and then it was credited to go on in guidance and counseling. And if I hadn't have taken out that certificate the way I did, they would not make the old life certificate on 2 years. They wouldn't make that into guidance and counseling. Of course, I already had my 4 years of college before I got my master's degree. Went to University of Kentucky for my master's degree. I didn't get it till 62. So you see how long I went to school. I was either teaching or going to school most of my life.
You really were dedicated.
Well, I liked it. They've asked me what kind of job that young people, of course I worked on that, studied that a lot on occupation and so on. And And I felt that they should really be have an occupation that they would like to do. They'd be happy in their work. And so many people get into a job, they fall into a job or something that they don't like, and they hate it, and they get stuck with it sometimes. I think it's one of the important things to be in something that you like to do. And I loved my job. Tom used to tell me that if I had to pay them to let me teach school in place of them paying me, then that's what I would do. I taught McHale High School 25 years. 15 years of that I was in guidance and counseling.
I remember. I think my oldest children knew that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that. I had those. I retired from McHale High School in 73. That was when they went to Greenup County High School.
I didn't know what year they went up there exactly.
It was 1973 that they had a couple of years that they kept McHale open.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't told you much about the history, have I?
Yes. It's all very interesting, but the one way.
Oh, I remember if I went back on the history of Fullerton, I can remember many things. The old ferry boat, that's the way we traveled. We think it's hard now, but on the transportation, and we had the ferry boat that we crossed to get across, and we had to walk. We didn't have buses back then. When I was a child, we didn't have buses or anything. We walked down to the ferry and crossed and walked over, and then we walked down Union Street and 2nd Street to get downtown.
It's quite a long
took
walk.
A day. It took a day to go shopping in Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a long time before we ever had a bus to go to Portsmouth.
By what time do you think we started the bus service, do you remember?
It was after the bridge.
It must have been about 29.
It was after, maybe, because the bridge, I think, was about 28, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And that was when the bus started then. But we could, and we rode the bus. But,
They put that bus right on the ferry boat, didn't they?
I don't remember. That's what I was trying. I don't remember them putting the bus on the ferry boat.
Well,
I don't remember how
the
that
Hannah's
was.
Boat did. Now, Jim Hannah's run a ferry, and they run a bus, remember? And Blue Ribbon had a bus, too, that went across the bridge.
Well, I just couldn't remember about the ferry boat having a bus on it.
Well, I wrote it many times.
Didn't recall that.
And sometimes it's pretty scary.
Some of our fun times back then was when the old showboats came to town and the Calliope went up the river playing. We all ran out to see the showboats. And that night they'd come out and have a parade down the street. And then we'd go to the showboat that night. Of course, we had an old movie. We had a moving picture about in Silent Days down there, too, that we went on Saturday night. Paul Davis played the piano. And his mother was the one that had the show. You remember that?
No.
I guess they didn't have that when you, but we used to go down there every Saturday night and sat matinee and then Saturday night the show. That was our first movie here, was that one. Down there on the riverbank going down toward the old ferry boat. That building hadn't been torn down too long ago.
No, and a bigger building.
Well,
you remember the old steamboats that used to come in and had wares to sell? Skillets and dishes and sort of a shopping center on the river. I remember my mother talking about those. I don't know if you've been on one of those.
I never did go on one of them. I don't know. I remember they used to have shanty boats. People lived on shanty boats.
That was during the Depression, wasn't it?
Well, it was before then. Before the Depression. I don't remember during the Depression they were living on shanty boats, but they did. In the early times, they lived down there on shanty boats, I remember. And they, over on the Ohio side, they lived in shanty boats some too when I was a small kid.
There was a whole fleet of them when I was in school.
Oh, yeah.
I know some of those children come to school.
Mm-hmm.
No shanty boats.
Oh, Roy Rogers' mother lived on a shanty boat down there when
she did.
Mm-hmm. She lived on a shanty boat there because my mother went to see her one time. Her name was Sly. And she and, I forget who it was went with her. They went to visit her. They knew her and went to visit her. Well, that was what my mother told me. I don't remember that except what she told me about that. Yes, I have a son. I had one child. Johnny was born in 1940. I had some years off from teaching about that time. During the war my husband went to Detroit. They sent him up there to work in the defense plant. And we lived in Detroit for a little while, right after Johnny was born. Johnny was born in Ashland, Kentucky. That was where Tom had registered for the service there at Ashland when Johnny was a baby. And then right after that was when the war broke out. And then Tom was a salesman. They didn't have gasoline, you know, for salesmen back in those years. When during the war, they cut the salesman off, so he went to work in a defense plant.
His sales work probably entailed traveling.
Yeah, he traveled, and that was why his traveling, didn't have gasoline for. That's why they cut him off from that job. And he was in this defense plant. He worked for Cadillac, General Motors, in the Cadillac division. And then after the war, about 45, the war was over, we stayed in Detroit till 47, when we came back from Detroit here in 47. That's when I went back to McHale to teach. And he went back on his salesman job for Fredonia Seed Company.
Could you tell us about some of your experiences as a high school teacher?
Oh.
I know you chaperoned some of the proms and...
Oh, yeah. I was sponsored a senior class for I don't know how many years. And we took all those senior trips. We took them to Mammoth Cave some years, took them to Washington, D.C., and some years went on to New York. One year I remember going on to New York, taking them up to New York. We took them on a train that time. A lot of times we'd go on the school buses or on Greyhound. We'd get Greyhound. We made lots of trips. raising money was one of the big things. Back in those years, we did a little of everything to raise money for those trips. Work, work, work to try to make money to take the kids on their senior trips. They had lots of fun. Back in those years, some years ago, that the students didn't travel so much like they do today. The parents take their students every place. Today it seems like the kids don't. They travel a lot. But back in those years, we remember when we'd take them to some of the cities, they didn't even know how to go through a revolving door. Just take them, or escalator. They just didn't know what. And they got the biggest kick out of some of those, just going through a revolving door back in those early days. They had, and they would be so, and the elevator. They, of course, now they had ridden elevators, but they always made a big to-do about riding. And we always stayed at the Kentucky Hotel in Louisville, but down there. And they were all, that's when I'd take the Beta Club down to Louisville. Each fall at the Beta Club went to Louisville on a trip, and that was a big thrill to those kids to go down there. High school teaching is really rewarding, something really rewarding. Those students, McHale students, were always fine students. We never had any discipline problems amount to anything up there. I just can't feature schools talking anymore about all the discipline problems they had, really. We didn't have those kind of problems. They were always I just thought they were just the greatest kids in the world. Of course, we got many rural students came in. I thought they were fine. They were good. They were good students. They were studious, and they were good students. Those people we got from out Lynn, all out in that rural area out in through there, they were fine students. And that Sunshine area, they sent us lots of many good students.
Sunshine always seemed to have pretty academic grades.
They do. They had. Mm-hmm. We got good students. Well, they were always a lot of. I was always rather proud of Greene County schools, really. And when they consolidated, and as a counselor, I went to all those consolidated schools to get them ready to come into the high school, and we'd have career days.
What were your hobbies when you were a child?
Well, I played the piano, took music lessons. I played for the church and reading, actually reading. When I read everything I could get my hands on. My mother bought a small encyclopedia for me, and I remember reading all the way through in one of those books. There was only three volumes, and I read all three volumes all the way through as a kid. And we didn't have libraries and things like they have today to get books, so we read anything we could get our hands on. But I remember reading so much, and playing the piano as a child. That's about the two things that I did, and I always loved dancing. I loved to dance. I danced in the time I can remember, even with the religious background that we had in those days. They frowned on dancing, but I can remember always dancing.
There was always places you could go that
was always
deep.
Dancing.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't disreputable.
I think when we did the Charleston, Mom said that she wore out all her rugs and everything doing the Charleston back in those days. I was a freshman in college when during the Charleston craze. But suppose that would take care of the hobbies for me.
Are the funeral customs different now than they were then?
Oh, I think during the, as I remember back funerals when I was a kid, they had them either in the church or had them at home. I never went to too many funerals as a child, but they didn't have, well, they had to have them either at church or home. They didn't have funeral parlors like they did today. I can even remember when they had the old horse drawn, before they even had the, they didn't use them too much. Mostly the hearses were automobile hearses since I can remember. But I do remember the old horse drawn. I remember one time that the circus was here in town, and one of the members, one of the women, you remember that?
Yes.
One of the women died, and she wanted to be taken, have a parade when she was taken to the burial, for her burial. They had a parade, and she wanted to be horse-drawn. She didn't want any motor car. And I remember that parade they had down through there, and that circus parade, and this woman with a hearse. You remember that?
Yes, they had, was it four or six big black horses
drawn
in hearse?
Yeah, horses drawn. Now I remember that, that funeral.
Yes, they'd taken her over to St. Mary's in Portsmouth. We went to the funeral.
Yeah, I didn't go to the funeral.
Come up
I just remember the parade.
Mm-hmm. Well, it came through South Shore.
But they
went across
the
bridge and Dover and Portsmouth.
They used the old time hearse, as they called it.
As
Morton.
He still has that down
Morton
in his
still
building.
Has it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he still has it. I guess it's nice to reminisce once in a while, and forget everything until you start thinking. Start thinking back.
You think people are more concerned about one another than they are now?
It seems to me that television has done more to keep people from visiting. And back in those days, we played cards and at each other's houses. We played bridge a whole lot. I remember during the Depression that we didn't go much, you know. And we baked cakes and stayed home, and we had bridge clubs. And we visited at homes, and I don't know that people visited each other, and they visited each other, but it came unannounced. We didn't have telephones then either for a long time, and on Sundays you didn't know who you was going to have for Sunday dinner. You always had relatives coming in on Sundays, but you just prepared for it. You expected to have relatives on Sundays, and they visited each other. They did. Relatives more concerned for each other then. You hardly ever see your relatives anymore. And people did visit, but I really think television has done a lot to that, to keep people from visiting. Because if you go to visit someone now, they turn off the television, you think you're interrupting some program. And maybe you are. But I don't know. Of course, I'm not down in television. I think it's a lot of good things on it. Mm-hmm. Of course, I think television's done a whole lot. Well, it's done a lot of good for children and students. They're informed, they're better informed, and they know things, and they know a world of things, things that go on in the world, and they keep up, they're much more, well, I'd say up on current events and things than they were back in the early days, because they hear it and see it on television. And the world is small today, and what kids know today, what my grandchildren know. Well, I never dreamed of knowing when I was a child. I read lots of books, but I didn't have their worldwide scope that they have today. So I think television is good, although they watch that in place of studying, and they don't read as much. And it's bad in a lot of ways. And that's why I think when talk about people not reading, reading is, learning to read is reading. You have to read to learn to read. You have to be interested in reading and read. When it comes to learning to read, why, if you don't read, and children today don't do much reading.
No.
They don't do much reading. They go home and turn on TV. And they, at night, and I know, I always thought it was good that Jesse Stewart never had a TV in his home when Jane was growing up, because he wanted Jane to read books, and he wanted Jane to study her lessons. So he wouldn't have a television. He has one now, but he never would have any when he had hers growing up. That may be good in a lot of ways. In some ways it might not be. But anyway, she studied her lessons, was more interested in books and so on. Mm-hmm. And she did what he wanted her to do. So. Times have changed in every way. Every way you can think of. We all know that.
Do you remember anything about the women's suffrage movement?
Well, I was pretty young when the women got the right to vote, so I don't remember too much about the movement, only what I've studied. But I remember it was a big thing back when the women got the right to vote. I remember my mother and dad's arguments and so on about it. My dad was Republican, my mother Democrat, so we had lots of fun.
Well, I think the common saying then was that women shouldn't vote to kill the men's vote.
Yeah, women, yeah. They made a big joke of it. Mom and Dad just made a joke of it. Mom killing Dad's vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made a big joke of that. We're kind of a, I can think of when I was taping my clients, I kept them, I always got a hold of somebody that was very glib and talking it out in the UK, and they'd wonder why do you always get somebody can talk? I guess, but some way they would talk for me, and I just think when I would stop talking, I got to thinking about those days when I get taken my counselor's training, and I had to interview all those people for counselees. I was always lucky to get somebody that was very glib and talking. They just talked the blue streak.
Do you remember the old Coney Island?
Yes, we went to Coney Island. I remember when they first brought the merry-go-rounds and the street carnivals over Coney Island, they had a ferry boat. They had an excursion boat come from Portsmouth, maybe. So they had big crowds there. Horse racing, they had a racetrack, they had harness racing, so on like that. Grandstands, I remember that very well. They had that for number of years down there. I don't know how long, but
had a baseball.
Baseball games. They had a lot of baseball games.
Somebody told me there was a home on Fly Hollow built from the material out at Greenstein.
I wouldn't doubt it. I know as I was a child growing up, they'd have church dinners over there. The women in the church would bake and have served chicken fries and everything. I remember going over there as a child mostly, to Coney Island.
Or the amusement park, did they? The merry-go-round?
Yeah, they had
all that sort of thing?
Oh yeah, they had the merry-go-round. I remember the first time I rode the merry-go-round. I thought that was the most wonderful thing ever was. Get on that horse and I was telling them, and I went down to see your grandmother and I was telling her and Desi about getting on the horse, and I was just a little kid, and Lucy would say, "My goodness, Desi, don't you get on one of those things." Oh, I remember that so well. It hurts her saying that to Desi. And I was so thrilled with him.
She must have changed her mind. She can't be riding.
Well, the way I was expressing it. The way I was telling about all those fancy rides. Oh. That was thrilling to me about that time. Those rides. You know, when I think about busing today, these kids, we never thought more about walking to school. We got to school the best way we could.
Mm-hmm.
We walked to school. Of course, we didn't have these highways today. Kids couldn't possibly walk today, but they make such a deal out of it. But I always walked to school. When I went to Russell, the high school, I lived in Raceland with my grandmother, and I took the bus to school. I'd walk over from Worthington over to the highway and catch the bus and go to school. And at the bus, I remember a few times of walking all the way to Russell. Came home in a snowstorm from Russell, and the bus couldn't run. I had to walk home through that snowstorm from Russell to work down to Raceland, where my grandmother lived. But we never thought so much about the hardships of getting to school back in those years.
Mm-hmm. No, I walked many days. I never did ride a bus.
I realize now that they couldn't, with the highways, the students couldn't get on the highway and walk.
You know.
If they'd have to have buses.
Well, in these little towns, they always had sidewalks to walk on.
Yeah.
These big highways.
Yeah.
They had no place for them safe to walk.
That's right. But now in the city, they could walk some. When I taught in Detroit during the war, when Tom was up there, I did substitute teaching in Detroit. They didn't do any busing in Detroit.
Yeah, they were at school.
When you went to school, the parents got them to school, either walked to school or they rode the city bus. And when I taught, I rode the city bus to school that I taught. And the kids were all on the city buses. Sometimes you had to change buses to get to the school where you were going to. Those kids all rode the city bus, and the parents were responsible for getting them there.
Do you think the crime situation has anything to do with safety of the buses, though, nowadays? It wouldn't be safe to turn a child loose on city buses, maybe. By itself, especially if it was young.
I don't know. We rode streetcars, and I don't know whether it would be safe or not. When you visit these cities, I've always lived around a small town, but when I visited these cities, I never see any of those things that go on to talk about crime. I wasn't a bit uneasy when I was in New York City. When I went around New York City, we rode buses, or we rode so on like that. We didn't think anything about it.
How the crowds were so large, you were by yourself.
I had a woman friend with me when I was in New York City, but we just went every place and we never thought anything about it. And I never saw anything that looked the least bit.
Probably throughout the afternoon, wouldn't it? One at any time.
Well, it might be late after night, but we went to shows and things that way in the evening. But I know it's pretty rough. I lived in Detroit a whole lot, and it's pretty rough neighborhoods up there, some of them. There's lots of problems today that they didn't have back then, I guess. Some of the teachers tell me that I retired at the right time. When I retired in 73, we hadn't had any of these problems that they claim they have today. I don't know anything about them because we just hadn't had them. Not around here. They might have had them other places. We heard about it other places, but we just didn't have them around here.